Blog Talk Radio.
Howard, and man, it is hazy, it is hot, it is humid. That's all the weather I like, especially the humid. Helps with the sinuses. Man, it's hot. It is, oh my goodness, I was walking the other day, D.C., and I see a dog, and I felt bad for the dog because his feet looked like they were grilling on the sidewalk there. So all you dog owners might want to leave your dogs inside. You know, don't let their feet grill all on the sidewalk there. So, hey, when it gets this hot, it's got to be football season closer and closer. You're talking about training camp, the smell of preseason football. Preseason football in the fourth quarter has got to be the worst thing in the world unless you're me. Because I love it. Because that's where you can find out, you know, where that guy is. Where's that Julian Edelman? Where's that, you know, that unsung hero guy that barely makes the team, and then the next thing you know, he's in the Super Bowl and he's making big plays. You know what? It means college blowouts are right around the corner. You know those first 2 weeks? You know, like when Howard plays Nebraska and they get $2 million for getting beat 70-0. Those games, yeah. Or, you know, like Roll Tide versus, like, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. Right, yeah, 80-0. That's, we like that stuff. So it is getting close. I'm telling you, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. But let's cool our jets because, you know, we got to do our PATs. And there is so much to talk about. Last week, we had a golf pro on from Oak Creek Country Club. And guess what? This week, there is a major in golf. And once again, and I'm going to keep saying, as long as Tiger Woods isn't playing, this is a game. It's not a sport. No one's watching. No one cares. It's on the other side of the pond. No one's getting up at 6 a.m. to watch this stuff. Nobody. Even though Jordan Spieth is on top of the leaderboard at -6. I got my man Rory McIlroy, who's -1 right now. I think he's coming. He's 5 under, 5 strokes behind. I think he comes back and wins this thing. It's his tournament. Right, he's a European guy. It's the British Open, or as they call it, the Open. So I guess, you know, Rory will go ahead and I think he's going to come back. So we'll talk about that later in predictions. So we could talk about British Open for 15 minutes, but I don't think we'd have any listeners, so we're not going to do that. But what we can talk about easily for 15 minutes, Kyrie wants out. What in the world? Oh, by the way, just back to that British Open for a second. $2.16 million to the winner. That ain't bad for a game. $2.16 million, that ain't bad. But anyway, back to Kyrie. So Kyrie says, hey, I'm out of here. I don't want to play LeBron. So he goes and he asks Dan Gilbert, owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, if he can get a trade because he has the desire to be the focal point and to no longer play alongside LeBron James. Now, rarely do you hear this. Rarely do you hear a Robin, if LeBron is Batman, rarely do you hear Robin saying, hey, I want out of here. I want to be the shining star, this, that, and the other. And it's all about ego. It's not about winning championships. It's not even about money. This stuff is about ego. That's what it is. It's ego, and ego destroys, I'm telling you. So, Kyrie, man, be quiet, man. You got a contract till 2019 that pays you an awful lot of money, and you talking about going to the Knicks? Get out of here. First of all, Carmelo's not going to be there when you get there. Now I could see maybe if Carmelo's there and he gets in some shape and recommits himself to the league and tries to make one last push, maybe. And of course, Porzingis is still there. He's going to be there. So maybe that's not a bad deal. But my goodness, Kyrie, you got a better chance of winning. They're going to go regardless of what happens in this offseason. And Cleveland has had a tough offseason. They'll go back to the championship, I believe. Although Mr. Wall may have something to say about that as he finally signed a contract with the Wizards, an extension of 4 years, $170 million. But, you know, do I think that the Wizards can overtake either this Boston team or this Cleveland team? And let me tell you something. I think the Sixers are going to be the one that's going to shock everybody. So, Kyrie, I think you want to cool the Jets on that. But that's not what we're going to talk about either. I told you it was college football. We're 6 weeks from Alabama. That's right. 6 weeks from Ole Miss going up against Alabama. It was just SEC Media Day. And guess who was there? Hugh Freeze, head football coach, Ole Miss. Not anymore. Mr. Freeze, out. He resigned. So Mr. Freeze made a phone call using the Ole Miss phone. So you mean to tell me you couldn't run outside, go to your car, and use your own personal cell phone? You had to sit at your coach's desk and make an inappropriate phone call. You're making $3 million a year to coach Ole Miss in the SEC, and you do something stupid like this? Come on, Hugh Freeze. You're one of the up-and-coming guys, man. Come on. Come on. You know what? That, again, is ego. That's just ego. You think you're untouchable. You think, hey, I'm big time. I'm just coming to SEC Media Day. You know, I'm 6 weeks away from playing Alabama. I could upset the Tide. And you make that bad phone call. Then, oh, by the way, Mr. Freeze, you lied about it. You said, oh, I didn't do that. Then you said, well, it was a wrong number. Then they go back and look at all your phone records. You've been dialing this number forever and a day. Come on, Mr. Freeze. Obviously, you were a little warmed up. We could talk about that for 15 minutes. But we're not. You guys know what we're going to talk about. It's the pay attention topic. It's that thing that's kind of off the beaten trail. Nobody's really talking about it. But this one, everyone's talking about it, and it just won't go away. Well, you know that there was a little hearing this week, and guess who's coming home? You got it. Orenthal James Simpson. Did you guys watch this thing? So I'm sitting here watching it. First of all, OJ talked way too much. Like, he almost talked himself out of it, in my opinion. Just kept going. Like, OJ, stop, please stop. But here's the thing. One of the judges, and these people are considered judges, one of the judges actually wore a Kansas City Chiefs necktie. Come on, man. Really? A Chiefs tie? Come on. So, you know, clearly, hey, OJ did it again. You know, Stephen A. Smith said he's the luckiest man in America. He did it again. Now, that's not what I want to talk about. Sure, OJ's out. Okay, great. I get that. What I want to talk about is, you know, I used to live right next to OJ. Right next, and I would see the guys when they were released walking out, hitchhiking, because they had nothing. They had nothing. Because, you know, the jail actually takes the shoes back. So whatever you wore when you walked in there, they give you that back, and that's what you wear out. So they actually keep the stuff because it's lost to the state. Since Orenthal James is going to walk out of here after 8 years in prison, and guess what? He'll walk out to about $600,000. Now, how'd he do it? So when he went in, his net worth was about $11 million. So the $11 million pretty much evaporated to get himself, let's just say, to defend himself with the Dream Team in the criminal suit against Ron and Nicole. So that $11 million is pretty much gone. Now, we go to the civil trial where we had $33 million that's owed to the Goldman family, and they won't stop. So even though OJ's autograph now is no more than mine, by the way, my autograph, $20. Orenthal James, $30. I'm catching up to him. Pretty good. But OJ's autograph used to be $90 a pop, but it's oversaturated because he signs everything now, kind of like Pete Rose. So what happened was the judgment has drawn interest, and that interest has gone up to $40 million. So clearly the Goldmans aren't going to get paid by OJ autograph baseball footballs. So what they're going to do is, all right, well, let's get his pension. Well, that's where the math starts. You're not getting his pension. Here's the math on this one. Remember, the Extra Points Radio Show is a business and sports show. So really, this ain't about OJ. This is really about the numbers. So OJ played from 1969 to 1979. Back then, any player who played before 1982, they got a pension of $250 per season per month. Now, multiply that by 11 seasons, that comes out to $2,750 a month. Now, in 2011, the league said, okay, former players are going to be given an extra $124 per season for every season they played before 1975. Then they'll get another $108 per month per season in subsequent years. So when you do that math, that's another $1,284 for OJ. That brings him up to about $4,034 a month. Now, when you take that and multiply that by 105 months in jail, that gives him about $423,000. All right, throw some interest on that. Depending on when he starts drawing on that pension, OJ is going to be about $10,500 a month and, quite honestly, about $600,000. So these numbers are staggering. Now you wonder, well, where does the league get this money from? Well, they get it from the TV contract. So what happens is, and I know some of the older players, you know, they're disappointed at how they were treated, you know, concussions and this and that. But quietly, the older players are getting paid too. I mean, wouldn't you like to work a job for like 10 years? And then here, 10 years later, hey, we're going to give you an extra $4,000 a month. That's a pretty good gig. I mean, tell me where that is. I can tell you, it ain't on the Extra Points Radio Show. I wish. So, you know, so here's the deal. This guy's going to walk out. I'm sure he's going to go right into reality television or write a book or do something. But he doesn't have to do anything. OJ can live off of his $10,000 a month from his pension, and he's 70 years old, so he's not going to do a whole lot, play a little golf. He's traveled already. He doesn't need to travel anymore. So the guy got it pretty good. He's got a pretty good gig going on. So I tell you, man, this story will never, ever end. The world, the country is still riveted by the juice, and the juice is back on the loose. Hey, that's our PAT for this week. I think we'll hear more from Orenthal James. So today we got a great guest. Phil Rye from Assistant General Manager of the Bowie Bay Sox. Bay Sox are doing well, man. Bay Sox are in first place in the Eastern Division, minor league baseball, a double-A team, Baltimore Orioles affiliate. They're ahead two games over Altoona, who is in second place behind the Bowie Bay Sox. They play Altoona tonight in Altoona, so it's a big, big game for them. And, you know, I didn't know this, but I went to MILB.com to find it out. The Bowie Bay Sox play in the same division as the Harrisburg Senators. You know who that's the farm club for? Our Washington Nationals. And what in the world happened to the Nats last night in Scherzer? So first of all, they lose the game on a walk-off. So that's not good. I mean, you never want to lose a game on a walk-off. But the other thing that was not good was Scherzer gave up not one, not two, but three home runs in a row to open the game. So now it begs to wonder, is Scherzer, is he tiring? Because if he's tiring, they're in trouble, big trouble. So, I just don't know. I hope that his arm's healthy. But to give up three home runs at the beginning of a game, that's a tough one. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break here on the X Points Radio Show and come back with Assistant General Manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, Chill Rock. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Whether it's hot or cold, so we're ready to rock tonight.
There you go. So out at Altoona, that's an away game, correct?
No, we're home. Yep, we're in Bowie
tonight
and tomorrow.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, okay, good. So it'll be 100 degrees. Altoona will be sizzling.
Yeah, it's 100 in the air and about 120 on the field, because that grass soaks up that heat pretty good all day long. So it's always great for the legs when it's hot outside.
Oh, God, 120 on the field. Huh?
Now, yeah, you know that from the football side of things.
No, I do. Yeah, I do. Do you see, how does that affect the fan? Because, like, the baseball game, it's about a three-hour game. How does that affect the fan? Do you see anything?
We try to make sure everybody's doing well and stays hydrated and that type of stuff. At the end of the day, people find the shade and like to sit in the shade or stand on the concourse, that type of thing. We've got a decent amount of shade, and once the sun goes down about 7:30, 8 o'clock here or so, tends to dissipate a little bit off the side of the ballpark. So that seems to help out a little bit too. We get a little air moving. It's not bad.
The other thing you got is a first place team. That helps.
That does help.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a dogfight here in our division, the Western Division here in the Eastern League. A couple days ago, we came off a road trip and we were tied with Altoona and Erie with a four-game homestand against Altoona this weekend. And we're starting to resemble the cardiac kids here in Bowie. The last two nights, we've had some deficits early in the game that we've overcome. On Thursday night, it was we were down late in the game, and we actually tied the game on a steal of home by outfielder DJ Stewart, and won the game on a walk-off, bases-loaded walk in the bottom of the ninth to win it 7-6.
Wow.
I can't remember a ball game that's had a game get tied up on a steal of home and a walk-off walk to win it in not in extra innings either. And then last night, we were down 4-2 in the first inning. It was a rough first inning. We came back and won it again in the bottom of the ninth on a walk-off. So it's been amazing the past couple of weeks. A lot of our games are really close. They're really tight, and we've managed to find a way to claw back and win. We've had an infusion of some really good young talent in the past few weeks here. A couple of days ago, the Orioles' number three prospect, Ryan Mountcastle, who was drafted as a shortstop, was promoted from High A Frederick to Bowie, and he's now playing third base. And he's played two games here in third base, and they're going to progress him that way. Austin Hayes is a monster of an outfielder who has just absolutely raked since he got here. You know, usually there's an adjustment period going from A to double A, but he's stepped right in. And 26 games, he's hitting .315. He's got 7 home runs, 23 RBIs, 8 doubles. I mean, he's just absolutely raking right now. You know, they've helped, you know, and guys that are young, you know, top prospects, top 10 guys here, have really helped our lineup, and our pitching's come around a little bit, for the most part. And it's been fun to watch, and, you know, you just come to the ballpark here, and even there might be a deficit, you might be trailing a little bit, but these guys are finding a way to claw back every game and make it a game and make it interesting and keep people on the edge of their seats. So it's been fun.
Well, I'm on the website, and I can tell you, first of all, just looking at some of the highlights, I mean, the games are great. There's no doubt about that. This is a good baseball right here. It's a good night out. But I'm also seeing you got fireworks. Tonight you got Salute to Seinfeld night. What's that all about?
Yeah, Seinfeld.
You gotta come up with the greatest marketing stuff. I'm telling you, you got to do that right.
We try, you know. It's there's a lot of thought and a lot of throwing stuff up against a wall and see what sticks. But you know, Seinfeld, as we all know, was a hit show, really about nothing. And we're going to celebrate that here tonight. The game's at 6:35. We have a special guest joining us tonight, the comedian Steve Heitner, who played the legendary character Kenny Banya on the show.
Kenny Banya, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so
he's going to be here.
That guy's going to be there? So
yep, he's
going
to be here at the game.
Show before the game.
Well, actually, he's going to be here doing some meet and greet stuff and taking pictures,
meet
signing
and
autographs,
okay.
First pitch stuff. We actually we had a package that is actually sold out. That's going to be a post game comedy show with him up in our restaurant. The tickets for that are actually sold out though, but he's going to be doing that for some fans after the game. But all night long, we're finishing up our plans here for, you know, just a whole bunch of Seinfeld fun tonight. We'll have video clips. We got an Elaine dancing contest. We've got you know, a whole bunch of different things. We got a muffin top eating contest out here. We got the Junior Mint Challenge. You know, all these things.
Challenge.
Yeah, we've got the envelope licking contest, the black and white cookie eating contest, you know, basically taking a whole bunch of stuff, you know, the stuff that the show was about, which was nothing, and putting it into our game. A lot of research.
I mean,
a lot of research, a lot of fun, you know, people that are in our office that were huge, you know, huge fans of the show that know it backwards and forwards, and we try to formulate things that we can do and have some fun with.
Wow. It must be fun to just to work there. It sounds like a great place to work. Now, let me ask you about the big boys, right? So I know that you guys are affiliated with the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't know was that you all, you guys got the Harrisburg Senators in your league, in your division. I didn't know that until recently.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's like the O's versus Nats, really, right? I mean, that's
it's the mini Beltway series.
The mini Beltway series, right? So is it a rivalry, or is it, you know, is it just, hey guys, or just, you know, do you see anything in that game, or like, because you guys do series, right? So you can play them what, three in a row or whatever.
Yeah, three or four usually. You know, sometimes it's a little bit harder in the in the minor leagues to develop a rivalry, so to speak, just for the sheer fact that your team changes so much, so often. You know, the way our schedule tends to work out, we tend to play a lot of our division opponents earlier in the year and then later in the year, where the middle of the season, typically this chunk, you know, the June and July chunk tends to be a lot of travel, where we're playing the Eastern Division the Eastern Division, which would be teams from the North, up in Portland, Maine, and New Hampshire, and Connecticut, and New Jersey, and things like that. So, from the time we face maybe the Harrisburg Senators or the Altoona team or Richmond in April and May, and when we might see them again in late June or later July and August type of thing, the teams have changed a lot. Guys have been called up, guys have been sent down, guys have been released, guys have been traded, guys get hurt, both teams. So there's not a whole lot of carryover in that, so to speak. Now, from a perspective of what my job is in getting people in the ballpark, we'll hype that up a little bit more, you know, especially on a weekend series, you know, see the baby birds take on the baby gnats, and if there's a big name guy that's playing for Harrisburg, you know, a top prospect or something, we'll kind of put that out there. Hey, see our guy versus their guy. It's not a huge deal, but it's certainly, we do see a lot of Nats fans at the ballpark when Harrisburg comes to town, just so they can check out to see what might be playing 20 minutes down the road from us, in the next weeks or year or two. People want to check that out, so it does add a little bit to it. But in terms of a rivalry, it's hard to have rivalries in the minor leagues, because the guys don't stay here that long. We'd like to keep the good ones, but the good ones need to go to Baltimore too.
No, I get it. So the reason why I asked that question is, you know, as I look through MLB.com, and by the way, I love the MILB.com website. It's full of information.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage our listeners to go to that one, check it out as well. But, you know, I'm looking at it here. It's been tough. It's been tough this year. And, you know, the Nats are way up in the standings, but even they, you know, if you're a fan, then you got to be, like, holding your breath. But right now, who do you think is the best team? It looks like the Houston Astros or the L.A. Dodgers. Who is the best team out there right now?
You know, right now, it's tough. I mean, like you said, the Dodgers and the Astros seem to be, pretty potent. You know, a lot of teams, though, you look at Houston, they're searching for pitching right now, starting pitching with Keuchel on the DL. They've been linked to everybody from Sonny Gray to Justin Verlander to, you know, anybody that's got an arm that can throw five innings or six innings just to kind of fill that void. You miss a guy like Keuchel in your rotation, that's hurting. But they've been able to sustain it. They've been able to keep it going even without him. So the depth that they have has been pretty good. You look at a Houston, they were so bad not too long ago, but they've built in a similar way that the Cubs did. They kind of pared it down, got a lot of talent. Some of that talent rises to the top. Not all of it does, but some of it does. And you're able to supplement your roster with different things. You make out on a couple of trades. You know, the famous one for people around in the Baltimore area is Jake Arrieta there for not a whole lot back in return, so it seems at the end of the day. But he blossomed out there, won a Cy Young, helped him to win a championship. You know, and and the Dodgers do it a little bit of a different way. They've got deeper pockets, so they can go out and acquire whatever they need and pay for it with their TV deal and everything else. So, you know, there's a couple of sleepers out there, I think. You know, the pitching has been solidified in Boston, the starting rotation. They're struggling at third base. There's a little bit of offensive struggle up there. They're not hitting for much power, but I think they'll address that here before the deadline. You know, don't sleep on Arizona. They're kind of sitting out there in the sleepy desert, and nobody's paying any attention to them, but they're adding pieces and trying to contend. You know, there's some good teams, but I think right now Houston. What was that?
I think they woke some people up last night.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Yeah,
three
people starting to take notice.
Scherzer.
Yeah.
Let me
that'll
ask
do
you
it.
About Aaron Judge. That'll do it. And let me ask you about this Yankee Aaron Judge. Now, he had another home run last night, and they're winning. This guy barely made the team. I mean, he was going to be a Triple-A guy. He barely makes the team. You know, everyone predicted that, you know, home run derby, he's going to win it. And he delivered, you know, way more than anyone expected. But here's what I noticed about him, and this is my question for you. I noticed he's kind of a humble type guy. He doesn't, you know, he's not banging his head up against a kicking net. He's not doing any celebrations after a home run. It seems like it's not just Aaron Judge. It seems like the sport, these guys seem to be better teammates. Like it's all about the team than maybe the NBA and the NFL. Is there any truth to that? I mean, am I just seeing something here? It just looks like these guys are more humble pie and about the team than in football and basketball. What do you see on that?
Yeah, I you know, part of that I think comes – you know, maybe it's just my own opinion, but comes with the everydayness of MLB. You know, you're going to see these guys 6 to 7 days a week. They're everything they do is on television for the most part every single day. There's no downtime for these guys to get in trouble. It seems like,
especially
during the season. You know, they're
well,
you know,
get
and
tired
it's
a, of seeing them, man. Is that, you know, because you take Aaron Judge, first of all, you can't, you know, not many can afford to go out to Yankee Stadium every single night. I mean, if you got a season ticket holder, great. But you can watch it on TV, you can listen to it on the radio, it's on the internet, it's everywhere. So this guy, you may get him, you know, several times a week, you're seeing him, whereas maybe, you know, an Odell Beckham, I'll use him as an example, who I'm not a big fan of, but he seems to be the counterculture of an Aaron Judge. Both in New York, both in a big market town, but one guy craves this attention, and the other guy just, you know, you see what I mean? So do you think it's because the other guy, the baseball guy, doesn't really need it because he's in our face every day?
That plays a little bit into it. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize – when somebody's drafted, you know, into minor league or into baseball, you know, they've got in most cases a 2-3-4 year road before they even get considered for major league baseball, and you know, you think about the length of the time that these players are in a system, and I'm talking about all the players, but then some of the cream of the crop players in a system. Take the major leagues out of it. I'm talking in the minor league system. These guys come into spring training, the beginning of March, the end of February. So they're under team watch, so to speak, for lack of a better term. You know, they're in the facility, and they're in the facility, whether they're in Florida or Arizona, wherever spring training is for the organization you follow. And they're there from 7 o'clock in the morning till whenever the game is over, or the bus trip comes back from playing a game in another city in Florida or Arizona, wherever it is. And after that, I mean, they've been up so early, they're going to bed early. But then once they get to their affiliate team, they're there every day. And now they've got them until the end of the season, which is Labor Day or so, and then some of these guys end up going back to their organizational headquarters in Florida, Arizona for instructional leagues. Some of them go to either an Arizona fall league, finishing school, so to speak, type of thing until Thanksgiving. So they're under the team umbrella, so to speak, for a long duration of time. And from the beginning of the time when they're drafted and get brought into that umbrella, it isn't like it was 20 years ago, 15 years ago. They're not getting just training in baseball. Down at those academies and down at those organizations and facilities, they have, you know, people that are coming in to do media training and social media training and public speaking training. The ones that don't speak English well, they're getting, you know, English lessons and schooling type stuff. You know, nutritional people coming in and talking about that. When our team comes north, when we find out from the Orioles who is coming to Bowie to play this year, they'll bring people in and have another refresher on media training and social media stuff. So they're constantly getting this stuff, which is completely different than the NFL, the NFL, NBA. You know, you come in and there is no quote-unquote minor league system, so to speak,
right. No, you're
for all the other sports. You know, a guy gets drafted
right.
in the NFL, he's in the NFL.
He's playing.
And,
right. If he makes the team, he's playing.
Yeah, outside of OTAs, they're on their own in this
right.
time of
yeah,
year.
They do
and
a
then,
rookie
you know,
symposium, and that's it.
Yeah. But you find, you know, once training camp starts, the issues kind of go away. But outside of training camp in the season, for the most part in the NFL, that's when you hear about the DUIs and the faux pas on the social media, and this guy did an interview he shouldn't have done. You know, in the NHL, it's a little bit different because you can draft a guy, but he might be in junior, he might be overseas. So he's in the umbrella, but they don't have day-to-day contact with him. But in baseball, these guys are kind of brought in. And then you look at an organization like New York or Boston or whatever. You know, Aaron Judge sat there and watched how Derek Jeter did it. Did Derek Jeter ever
right.
get in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he
Never.
Wasn't the guy. He's not out there, you know, blasting stuff on social media and things. So you're brought up in an organization in that way. But I think in the whole, it's the umbrella factor for these guys when they're drafted as 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids and put into a system. It's the system that is there for the support and the training and everything else going, hey, don't stand out. And by that, I mean in a bad way. Don't be the guy that the media is coming into our locker room asking about why you had a DUI last night. You know, we don't want
right.
that in our
no,
locker
you
room.
No, you
know,
yeah,
we don't
want, don't
that,
want that,
that headache. You know, and it's different where, you know, in the NFL, there's certain days where guys have to talk and things like that. But in a baseball locker room, the media walks in before and after the game and can ask anybody anything. It's a little
wow.
bit different. Whereas that really
that's
only
Bill,
happens in the NFL on game day.
That's why we love having you on, because the education that you give our listening audience is off the charts, and the entertainment that they can get out of Prince George's Stadium tonight. So go ahead and give us website, give us any information that you want to give out to our listening audience. We have some folks come out there tonight.
Yeah, it's we're having fun out here. Tonight's game, Saturday, 6:35, post-game fireworks. We got Seinfeld night out here, a little bit of everything going on tonight. Tomorrow we actually have an afternoon game. For those out there in the audience with kids, we actually are doing Trolls Day. If you're familiar with the Trolls movie, we have the
Trolls,
two stars
yeah.
of the movie.
Okay.
Poppy and Branch are going to be out here taking pictures with the kids tomorrow. That game tomorrow is at 2 o'clock. Baysox.com, BAYSOX.com. Come on out and see the future of the Baltimore Orioles. I'll tell you right now, our team is stacked with guys that could be playing in the major leagues later this year, next year at some point. You know, Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes, Ryan Mountcastle, just to name a couple. DJ Stewart. There's a bunch of guys here that are really exciting to see, and people are coming out to check them out and see what the future of the Orioles is going to be in the next 18 months or so. But we're here in Bowie and got a lot of games in July and August here, and we're making a playoff push. We won the championship in 2015. There's a little bit of a feel. I'm not going to jinx it, but we're kind of getting
that tingly feeling right now
going, this team can't lose right now. So not going to say we're going to make it, but, you know, we're it feels like 2015 again around here from the baseball side of things. So it's fun to watch.
I'll leave you with this. First of all, I still got to get out to the ballpark, but I got two ideas for you. One you've done already and one maybe you haven't. But I'm watching down in Daytona Beach, Florida. They did a Sager Strong night down at in the minor league game down there where everybody dressed up in these wild jackets and everything, like former ESPN guy Craig Sager. And then I got another one, Bring Back Wrestling. Goodness gracious, Bring Back Wrestling. Ring of Honor's out there. There's some sort of Maryland-based Baltimore wrestling outfit that's up in Baltimore. Bring wrestling back.
Well, we actually we did our Legends of Wrestling night just Thursday night. We had Tommy Dreamer out here Thursday night. He was awesome.
What? I missed it.
Yep.
I missed it.
Yep. He was out here. We had it was just 2 days ago. We had a great time with Tommy. He brought the kendo stick out here, took pictures with everybody. We had a pregame Q&A event going on. He was telling stories.
Yeah.
It was really funny. One of the stories that he told, he said that somebody asked him how many surgeries he's had. I mean, he's obviously, if you're an ECW guy, they got beat up back in the ECW days. He said he's never had a surgery in his life. And everybody was shocked by that.
I
was
I'm
too.
I'm shocked by that.
Falling from ladders.
Daytona Tortugas. That's who had Sager night. So maybe you want to do that, but hey, Phil, always a pleasure to have you out there. Continue to success with the Bowie Bay Sox. I got to get out to the ballpark.
Come on out. We're here.
Thanks a lot. Phil Wright, Bowie Bay Sox, man, that guy always gives us an in-depth and an insightful look at baseball as a whole. I'm telling you, when you look at it from where the game is pure, that's the best place to look at it from. He's got a bird's eye view. He's been doing it for a while. That guy's going to be an Oriole. I'm telling you, he's going to do huge, huge things. But he already is. I mean, that's a good night out over at Bay Sox Stadium. I mean, Prince George's Stadium. Let me know. Man, he had Tommy Dreamer out there. God, I missed it. So hey, look, we're going to shift gears for a little bit here and head over to, as I told you every week on the Extra Points Radio Show, leading up to the football season, we're going to have a little Redskins update. And obviously, our Washington Redskins did not do a deal with Kurt Daniel Cousins. So what was disappointing was they kind of put out a press release saying basically it was all his fault, that they offered him plenty of money and he didn't accept it. Well, when you really look at the numbers, they didn't really offer him anything. But they really did. What they offered is what he was going to get anyway because he was a franchise. He had the franchise tag. So he's not going to be with the Skins in 2018. He'll go to Cleveland or he'll go to the 49ers or that. But I heard something that was really, really interesting here in D.C. on the local talk radio show. And, yeah, I listen to talk radio. The Extra Points radio show is the best one, but there's some backups out there. And one of the commentators was saying that what's going to really happen, the way this will really unfold, is they're going to bench him. They're going to bench him so that he never gets the money that he thinks he's worth, and they're going to end up going with Colt McCoy. If this happens, you heard that on the Extra Points radio show a year ago. A year ago, I said, get rid of Kurt Daniel Cousins. Go ahead and play Colt McCoy. It's the same guy. He's going to throw for 3,000 yards. He's going to throw about, 15 touchdowns, 10 picks. He's going to barely squeak to the playoffs, if at all. And if he gets to the playoffs, they're going to lose the first round. That's what Kirk Cousins has been doing. Colt McCoy can do that. So I think there's some legs on this. Let's see how many reps that Colt McCoy gets in preseason. That'll be telling. Now, Kirk Daniel Cousins barely played in the preseason last year. But I think that was more to, you know, make sure he doesn't get injured. But this year, I think this organization really doesn't want him to get paid and doesn't want him to leave. We'll see what happens. And oh, by the way, the Redskins starter is already on the team. I'm going to keep saying that as well. His name's Nate Sudfeld. And I happened to be watching the Big Ten Network the other day and saw Nate in a game against Indiana, or when he was a quarterback at Indiana. Nate Sudfeld's a stud. He's a good, good player. 6'4", 6'5", played in a pro-style offense at Indiana. I think if you threw him out there, he'd be one of those Garoppolo types. He's just a good quarterback. He just hasn't gotten a chance yet. He gets a chance, you know, and I know – just think about this for one. It's week two, and Kirk has already thrown two picks and no touchdowns. Let me tell you something. People are going to be calling for Colt McCoy. They are. They're going to be calling for Colt. See, Kirk doesn't have what, let's say, an Eli man. Eli's got rings, right, in dramatic fashion. So you got to you can't just, you know, say, well, he's out of here. You got to be patient with that. Kirk has done nothing. He has zero playoff wins, zero. And the only reason he made it to the Pro Bowl is because Matt Ryan didn't want to go. So, I mean, you know, I like him. He's a nice guy. But we're not in it for nice guys. We're in it for can he play. Can we win a Super Bowl? No. They will never win a Super Bowl as long as he's the quarterback. They won't, which is why they shouldn't pay him the money, which is why he'll be gone next year. So, anyway, the other thing I want to talk about under Redskins roundup here is the running back position. We talked about defensive backs the other week. This position is really, really deep. Now, when you look at Fat Rob Kelly, excuse me, Rob played last season, started a couple games last season. He did an admirable job. I think his pass protection is a little soft, maybe not the best receiver on the planet. But, you know, he's a serviceable back. I get it. Again, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with him as your starter. Chris Thompson got more carries last year than normal. But Chris also is your third down back. Like, he's the guy. And matter of fact, he's the veteran of this group. Chris Thompson is. A guy that barely made the team, you know, out of Florida, barely makes the team. But now he's really their most versatile option at that position. So now you got to ask yourself, well, what about Matt Jones? So Matt Jones, you know, fumbleitis, I think the running over people style, that may work in the SEC, which it really doesn't, but it worked for him. It definitely doesn't work in the NFL. Unless you're Earl Campbell, it ain't working. So Matt Jones has got something to prove. I'd like to see how he comes into camp. You know, will he come in shape, positive attitude, knowing the offense inside and out, willing to pass pro, willing to block for other guys? Will he do all those things? He's got a long way to climb. He's not high on my depth chart, but when you got, you know, Fat Rob as your starter, you got to look at all things. Then you got Mack Brown, another I'm going to run over you type guy, maybe a little more speed than Matt Jones, and definitely not as much fumbleitis as Matt Jones, although he has had a fumble or two. I like Mack Brown. Do I think he's even maybe better than Matt Jones? Maybe. But is he the guy that you could win a Super Bowl with? I don't think so. Now, I think him and Matt Jones are really in a battle. I think Fat Rob makes the team. Chris Thompson definitely makes the team. But I think Matt Jones, Mack Brown, and I'm going to throw another name out to you, the rookie last year, Keith Marshall. Keith Marshall had a great preseason, really good college career. But Keith Marshall he never got activated, which, you know, means he's not making any money, and he's just on the practice squad, just kind of sitting and waiting. I like Keith Marshall. I just they're too deep. They got too many running backs. You know, Keith may be dealt somewhere, maybe. Maybe that works, and they can get a late-round draft pick for him. Maybe he can do something on special teams. But, you know, he did not get activated at all last year, even for special teams. That says a lot. So, you know, maybe it was rookie-itis. Maybe he didn't know the offense. I don't know. But the guy that they can win a Super Bowl with at running back is the fifth guy I'm going to mention. Simone Perna from Oklahoma. Now, that guy, they drafted him. That guy has everything. Pass catching, he's better than you think. Just because he went to Oklahoma and Mayfield didn't throw the ball to him, he's better than you think. Running, he's faster than he looks. Okay, power, he's stronger than he may look. I mean, there's a lot of things that he's got all the intangibles. He's got everything you want in a back. He's got it. So I think that's who your starter is going to be. You know, he comes from a long line of great running backs from Oklahoma. And so you know, he's kind of got the pedigree. So I think that I think he could end up being the starter, maybe not out the gate, but definitely once the season gets rolling and, you know, they're down in the week, you know, six, seven, and especially when it gets cold and they need a back, I think he's the guy. I really do. You know, 5'11", 236 pounds, he's young. He's picked in the fourth round, which is a great time to pick a back. Freshman of the year, Big 12 freshman of the year, second team All-American. First team All Big 12, he's got all the numbers. Look at his college numbers: 1,700 yards in 2014, 1,300 in 2015, 1,000 in 2016 on an Oklahoma team that wasn't very good. So I think and by the way, he's cheap. He signed a rookie contract. They're getting this guy 4 years, $3 million. They're getting him for less than $1 million a year. They're getting this guy for about $800,000. They're stealing it. And so, hey, I think he's going to be our guy. We'll see what happens. We'll see. So that's our Redskin roundup for this week. 2 minute warning, and I got to go back to our PAT and Orenthal jinx. And the reason why is because you know OJ hasn't been back to the Hall of Fame now since 1985, and I think that's really what I want to mention in the 2 minute warning. Is forgiveness. You got to forgive people. You know, if you walk around and you're grumpy and you don't forgive, people are going to make mistakes. We're human beings. But you got to forgive people. You got to let it go. And I know, take it from someone who's not the most forgiving person, but I've learned to become more forgiving. Because when you do, when you are more forgiving, you don't carry that weight around. You don't carry that stress around. So I know I can lift cases. It's taken me years to forgive a person or two, but you got to do it. And as long as you do it, and I'm saying this guy's done his time, and we need to forgive him for whatever it is, the crime he committed. Let's remember that he was exonerated for the first crime. The second crime, he's done his time. The guy's 70 years old. Hey. You know, I hope he lives a fruitful life for the rest of his days. So you know, forgiveness is what the 2 minute warning is all about today. So our prediction is 39-27. Still, you know, we're plus 12 games on that. Here are the predictions. I got the Nats losing again today to Arizona. Here's why. First of all, they're going to put Tanner Roark on the mound. Tanner Roark, he's a long reliever. He's not a starter in the Major League Baseball. He's not. He's just not. And Arizona, better than people think. If Arizona, and you just heard Phil Rise mention Arizona as a sleeper team, feels spot on. I think Arizona, if they can get in as a wild card, I think they advance. Now, they'll have to run into the Dodgers at some point, and they'll probably lose that. But I got them beating the Nats today. I just absolutely do. Houston's up in Baltimore today. You know, Houston's the best team in the league, in my opinion. Houston gutted their franchise, gutted it, and just went with all young players, and it's working. They left their players down in the minor league. They brought them all up, and now they're good. Houston's the best team. They beat the Orioles. Sorry, Phil, if you're listening, but Orioles lose today. But I do have the Bowie Bay Sox beating Altoona on Seinfeld night. Out at Prince George's Stadium. So one other prediction, and I said this earlier in our PAT segment, I got Rory McIlroy. Rory, what kind of name? Do you know anybody named Rory? I don't know anybody with that name. I got him coming back down five strokes. I got him coming back and winning what I would consider to be his Open, the British Open, or as they call it, the Open. So I got him winning that. No Sergio, no Ricky Fowler. By the way, though, Ricky Fowler, just for those of you that don't follow golf, this is the guy that wears the bright orange pants. This guy's making a living off of losing. Ricky Fowler in 2014, in every major, he finished in the top five. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. In this year's Masters, he was 11th. In the U.S. Open, he was 5th. This guy has figured out a way to live a great life by just saying, you know what, I'm not good enough to win these things, but I'll come in the top five, top 10, and that gets me more orange, tight, skin-tight pants to wear, and then I can make plenty of money being a model for Puma. So that's basically what he is. So anyway, that's enough on my golf thing. Hey, if you want to find out more about the Extra Points radio show and Extra Points, visit us at our website, extrapointsllc.com, www.extrapointsllc.com. There you will find pictures of Coach Howard, quotables from Coach Howard, to include Twitter. You can reach us there, at Extra Points LLC. Always looking for more Twitter follows. We got a few more this week. We're looking for a few more next week. So, at Extra Points LLC. That's at Extra Points with an S, LLC. Someone reached out to me this week and said, is there an S in it? Yes, Extra Points LLC. And then, of course, if you're a reader, hey, please read. Everyone should read. Extra Points, The Life of My Story. Great book. Great book. I had someone make a purchase the other day. A former military guy, Harvard guy, stand-up citizen. He read the first three pages and came back to me and said, Coach Howard, this book is great. And I really appreciated that. He's only three pages in. So I really appreciate that. But what he doesn't know is it gets better as you keep reading. So thank that reader out there for the feedback. So if you're looking for someone to engage, motivate, and inspire your team, speaking of books, book me. That's right. You can book me to come out, and I got a million stories that I tell the groups and teams to get them fired up to make whatever their mission is, whether it's in their professional life in the boardroom or whether it's on the courts or on the field. I'm the guy to do that. We got football season coming up, so happy to announce my 31st season of coaching. We'll begin next Tuesday, August 1st. I'll be at Bishop Ireton High School. I'm coaching the quarterbacks, trying to ease my way away from coaching. We don't know if that'll ever happen, but we got a really good quarterback over there, and expecting an exciting season. So we start a round of two-a-days. So I'm looking forward to going out with Coach Kevin Barger and the team out at Bishop Ireton High School. So, hey, put a great show today. We want to thank Phil Ryan from the Bowie Bay Sox. Don't forget to go out to Prince George's Stadium. They got fireworks every night. They got a ton of great activities out there. It's a good night out. It's affordable. They're winning. They're in first place. So take a look, Bay Sox, BaySox.com for more details on that. And, hey, have a great week this week. It's hot outside, so drink plenty of water. You know, I've got an old saying that I say on the football field. It's pretty morbid, but it's true. Hydrate or die. It's that simple. So make sure that you get plenty of water in you as you're out there moving and grooving wherever you are. So, hey, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in every week, especially our faithfuls out there. You know who you are, and we appreciate you. And we look forward to join you again next week as the show must go on. We are approaching 100 shows. We'll get to that by the end of the year. So, hey, all is well in the world. The extra point is up, and it is